Council. It's Wednesday, June 25th, 2014, and it is 6:30 p.m. I wonder if we could have the roll call.
Here.
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 Here. The next thing on our agenda is public communications, and I did want to see if there's anyone, not out in the audience, obviously, but anyone in the TV audience watching. We hope you'll come down tonight. If you have any opinions you'd like to express on the streets, we'd love to hear them. Public communications, though, for this point, any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item described in this agenda. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on terms not on the agenda. So this is just for regular communications. This is just if anyone has anything they want to talk about that's not about streets, then we'd love to have you come forward, and I will open public comment. Okay, we're ready to talk about streets then. I'll bring it back to the council. And our only item of business this evening are presentations by the Pavement Management and Public Research Consultants regarding a general obligation bond issue, and our city manager is going to introduce that for us.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council, pleased to be able to provide you and with these presentations tonight. As the council is well aware, streets has been and the repair and rehabilitation of the city of Grover Beach streets has been a major priority for this council and councils that preceded it. In fact, this council held two discussions, one in January and another one in February, where the council discussed long-term street rehabilitation options. And that at that time, staff indicated to the council that realistically, the only effective long-term rehabilitation program would require a major infusion of cash. The city is just so cash constrained from a revenue point of view that we don't have ongoing revenues sufficient enough to be able to maintain the 44 miles of streets that we have. In January, the council directed staff to begin the preparations and do the background for the possible presentation of a general obligation bond issue for the November 2014 ballot. Part of that direction included the retention of a pavement management consultant to come up with an analysis of the current condition of the pavement and associated costs. And the second part of that direction was to retain a public research firm to conduct a survey to determine the level of support that might be out there amongst voters for a general obligation bond issue. Tonight you're going to receive presentations from both of those consultants. There should be hopefully a free exchange of questions and comments between yourselves and the consultants, because it's a extremely important issue and extremely important that the council feel comfortable with making a decision whether to move forward with a general obligation bond issue or not. Staff's recommendation is that it is our hope that at the end of this discussion, and obviously you'll allow for public input as well, you'll be in a position to begin making some decisions about whether or not to proceed with the general obligation bond issue, and hopefully at what level that you might be interested in proceeding with. As you know, in the staff report, I also included a recommendation that we discontinue further discussion regarding the charter measure at this time, and the reason for that is I think that both measures are extremely important to the future of the community, but I also think that, as has been expressed in the past by the council, streets is the priority, and if we attempted to do two measures at once, it would be difficult, I think, for the staff and the community to wrestle with those issues both at the same time. So I'm also making that recommendation. Should the council discontinue the discussion of the charter, that would mean we'd forgo the final public hearing on that that's a part of that process for July 7th. Essentially, that's my staff report. I'd be happy to answer any initial questions at this point, but after that, I'd like to introduce the pavement management consultants.
Are there any questions?
No.
We're ready for you.
Okay. With that, I'd like to have Joe Ryrie and Joe Seeley. They're going to be making the presentations. Pavement Management Incorporated, local engineering firm. Very familiar with our streets, and he's going to provide you with the initial presentation on the current condition of the streets. Joe?
Thank you, Bob. Madam Mayor and members of the City Council, it's a pleasure to be with you this evening and be able to report on our findings of what we found in driving all of your streets and the budgeting and funding impacts based on the current condition of your streets. So just quickly, what we did is we used a well-known technique of evaluating your pavements to determine what's called a pavement condition index, or we call it a PCI, and it ranges from 100 being a brand new street down to 0 being a street that has essentially no service life in it. In order to achieve the PCI and measure the PCI, we go out and we look at every single street and we take samples of the street and measure every single defect in there. We're looking at alligator cracking and block cracking and potholes and raveling and all of those different things. And our crews then assess the deduct values that come from there. So you start off with a PCI that's 100, and then every single defect will reduce that down and down and down. This is a familiar process. It's used throughout the country. As well as in parts of the world. It's a way of being able to communicate on the same level the type of the conditions that you have and be able to compare one to another. So this is an example of a street that's in excellent condition. It's brand new and paved, and it's considered to be 100. And I'm just going to give you some pictures just so you can kind of get it in your mind what the different, how the conditions work. So this is 100.
I didn't find that in Grover Beach, did you?
That is not a Grover Beach street, Mr. Nichols. No, that is correct. We would have liked to have. This is a street with a PCI of 45. We picked 45 on purpose. Just kind of keep in mind, you'll see the alligator cracking in there. The street is weathering and raveling. That's when the surface is starting to come off, and it looks very rough on it, and as well as it's got other defects in there as well. This street is considered in poor condition according to the pavement condition index surveys. These streets are examples of streets that are 17. We didn't have to look very far to be able to find those streets, and so we picked a couple of them. We tried to make sure that they were nondescript and you couldn't find exactly what streets, but these are examples of streets that have a PCI of 17. You will see that they are obviously rough to ride on, alligator cracked, failing, and have the type of average PCI of 42. That's why I picked that one slide that I did, so you could kind of get a range. So this means that on average, your system is at a 42. You have streets that are better than that, but you also have streets that are worse, but you are at a 42. The replacement value, if you were to remove and replace every part of the pavement in every street throughout town, is calculated to be $102 million. So that's the size of asset that you have and that you're trying to maintain. We took a look at your system in terms of functional classifications, knowing that some streets are classified and are used more, and so we classify those as arterials. And then we also looked at your collectors and residentials. And you can see how it's broken down. Your arterials are actually in a little bit better shape, not by much, but they on average are a 47. Your collectors are a 46, and your residentials overall average out to 40.
Joe, would you define the difference between collector and residential?
I'd be happy to. The way that you think of it is think of it as a tree. So your residentials are the furthest out branches, and then they come together into the larger size branches until it reaches the trunk, which is your arterioles. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So here's the budget and funding impacts. We ran several different scenarios, and the first one is, as we said, let's assume that there's no budget constraints, and let's see what we can run in terms of what the system needs and where it wants to end up, because the program will actually run to a point where it tries to hit a point where your system is going to be maintainable at the least amount of cost, but then give you the best service life as well. And so what the system wants to do is it wants to operate at an 85. But in order to do that, and we ran this over a 10-year cycle, in order to do that, you want to get to an 85, but it's going to cost, on average, about $8.6 million per year to be able to do that. We said, okay, well, what would it take to take a system from 42 up to a 65? 65 is kind of an acceptable number throughout the agency. That's the bottom light blue line, and you can see that in 10 years, your system is and spending $300,000 a year, which is your current budget, you're going to end up at a 17, which is why I thought it was important for you to look at those roads, and that's an average, system average of 17.
Yikes.
Again, this shows where the 17 is headed, where given the funding levels that you're at right now. This concludes this portion of the report. Of course, we're prepared to answer whatever other questions you have or come up as part of this workshop special session. But do you have any initial questions about our findings right now?
Any questions before we move on?
Just a quick one, Joe. Going back to your graph, where you're showing the 10-year PCI trend?
Yes.
Can you explain the spike on the 8.6 million? So in the first year, it shoots way up.
That's a great question, and I'm glad that you noticed that. What that is doing, it's only an 8.6 on average, but because we're saying unconstrained funding, the system actually is spending, if you look at the scenarios, it's spending several million dollars, like $20, $25 million that first year, saying, oh, this is what we need to hurry and get you up into a range where we can start doing proper pavement management techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help explain that?
It does, yes.
Okay.
So a follow-up question.
Go ahead, follow up.
Okay. Thank you. Just a quick, we'll call it $25 million of infused cash for that first segment, and then it would be on average 8.6 per year is what we would need to have an annual fund to mm-hmm. accomplish to maintain that 85.
And I need to go back and look exactly at, I just picked a large number.
Mm-hmm.
It might be more than that. I need to look up exactly what that initial number is. I don't recall right offhand. But total, you're going to be spending $86 million over the 10 years. And that's
okay.
Why it averages out to 8.6 million.
Okay, so it might be somewhat less in the latter years to maintain the level.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
I just had a question about block cracking.
Uh-huh.
What is that? I mean, I understand what the alligator cracking is. What's the block cracking?
Block cracking, pavement deteriorates two different ways. One is by the environmental effects, sun and the water, and so it's got to pull apart somewhere. And unlike a Portland cement concrete or sidewalks where we can put in control joints, we can't do that with asphalt. We just lay it out and pave it. And so it's got to shrink somewhere. And if you look at it, eventually it will crack in about 20 by 20 squares, and then it will break down to 10 by 10 squares as it continues to have the volatiles burn out, which is why we do some of the treatments on the road, like put a slurry seal or mm-hmm. or chip seals over the pavement, because that acts almost like a sunscreen and protecting the pavement structure itself.
I see. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me know if I'm going too far ahead in your presentation. So, but as you went through and assessed all the streets, can you give us a sample of what you found? So, I mean, did you do potholing? Did you do mostly visual, or what was the testing sequence that you did to come up with your results of our numbering system?
That's a great question. The test method is based on visual conditions, and so you actually are measuring the defects on the pavement itself. And so the test method requires that we take a 2,500 square foot sample area, representative sample area from the segment that we're looking at, and then measure every single one of the distresses in there. So I don't know if you saw our crews out running around with the wheels and measuring up things. We counted how many potholes there were and the square footage of alligator cracking that was there, and we assessed the raveling that was there, and how much of the block cracking there was and longitudinal cracking. And all of that gets factored in for each one of those sample areas and is calculated into a PCI.
Okay. So then the subsurface investigation wasn't part of your work, so we don't you can kind of correlate between the block cracking, the alligator cracking, as to what kind of foundation system is either there or isn't there?
What you do from that point of view is based on the PCI that's given in the PCI range, then there's typical treatments that you would apply for a pavement in that condition.
Okay.
For instance, newer pavements are going to require crack sealing and some type of a sealing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Pavements in the worst condition need more of a reconstructive type approach. Exactly what that reconstructive approach is does require that you take the program, mm-hmm. which is set up to be more of a net wound into the more of the project level view, to make sure that the funding scenarios and the types of treatments that can be done will work.
So, so the $102.5 million assessment. What was kind of the assumptions that were made? Was that a full reconstruction for X number of miles and slurry seals for another X number? So, and based upon if we had an 85, you said, okay, mm-hmm. that's going to be a slurry seal. That was one block somewhere in the middle of someone's residential unit, and
right.
that's the only one everyone's ever going to see. But then the 42s were reconstruct the road to a certain structural level,
correct?
Based upon TIs and or traffic indices and so forth.
Right. The replacement value assumes a reconstruct scenario, so it's the road being removed and replaced.
Okay.
And so what we do is we take a look at like an arterial and a collector in a residential street, which is why those classifications are important,
right.
because we apply different amounts of loading on them.
Right.
We know that a residential street is going to see 3 garbage trucks per week. It's going to see the UPS truck every day and the FedEx van every day.
Right.
It's going to see an occasional moving van and a couple of other heavy vehicles throughout its life, and mm-hmm. then we calculate what's called a traffic index based on that, and we do that for the residentials and the collectors and the arterials,
mm-hmm.
and the higher the traffic index, the heavier the loads are on it, and that requires heavier, deeper structural foundations in order to be able to do that. So we based it off of traffic indexes for those different classifications.
Okay, great, thank you.
Any other questions?
There was, if I could say mm-hmm. one thing on that, Joe pulled up the report. That first year that I kind of took a quick guess at, I believe this was your question, Council Member Marshall, $38.7 million is what it wants to spend the first year. And then it goes 11.6, then it starts dropping 8.9, 4.9, 3.9, 1.4, 1.5. You can see where it's starting to head to where it's getting into a more of a maintenance mode for your system.
But even the maintenance mode would be, let's say our roads were at an 85. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Then the maintenance mode would be a slurry.
Small percentage of that. You think of, you know, we could talk about assets like your roof or your at your home or paint. It's about the same percentage wise.
Thank you.
I had one question on the numbers. When you started the initial presentation, you said that a system-wide average weighted PCI of 42, that's what we are now, replacement value would be 102,000. Mm-hmm. And we're
102 million.
Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? And now we're going to, and yet when we look at these charts, I don't think we're reaching those numbers. So can you explain the difference in those figures?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, on your City of Grover Beach system data, the last line says replacement value of $102,474,000.
Okay.
So, but we're not going to spend that much.
No.
No.
So, how does that? So, how does that? How do those numbers marry together?
It's one of the ways. Remember, this is a program that allows agencies to be able to compare themselves with other agencies. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have the PCI as one way to look at it. Your replacement value is another way to look at it, so that you can say, okay, with our system, we have 45 centerline miles of road. Its replacement value is $102 million. Our PCI is 42. And then you can go to the next agency over and say, what do you have? And you're able to compare yourself and say, you know what, we need to find other agencies in about the 46 centerline mile range, and you can do some comparisons that way.
So you're saying that if we started over, right, and rebuilt our streets today, all of our streets, a new street system, it would be 102,000.
That is million. Correct. Yeah. 102 right.
million.
That's correct.
Right.
And so that is removing and replacing everything. In my experience in all the years I've been doing this, rarely do you have to get that aggressive into mm-hmm. a complete remove and replace. Usually there's options somewhere less than that that are more economical that you can utilize. And we factored those type of options in to the different scenarios and in developing the how much the percentage of the streets were depending on the different bond measure levels.
Yes.
If I could, a couple of comments. I'm glad that we're able to clarify the $102 million is a total street system that was in fairly good shape. You would be expecting to spend about $1.6 million per year. So that's pretty much in line with this. The other thing I was going to ask Joe to do, if I could, is to we actually and soon we'll be introducing Mr. Bernard from FM3, but there were actually three levels that we tested. There was the through the survey. There was 48 million, 38 million, and I believe it was 27 million. And Joe, if you could, just so the council can understand what those mean, could you kind of give us what the, you know, at 48 million you would get a certain percentage of residential streets versus mm-hmm. main streets, and 38 was, et cetera?
Okay, that's a, I'd be happy to. We, you know, I've got a little table that we were able to put that all together. Do we have a way to be able to show this? Okay. Well, let me just mention to you the different ones at 20 million. We looked at different classifications. We looked at all the streets in the city. We looked at the major streets. We looked at residential streets, and then we looked at various other combinations of those. And so at 20 million, which I believe that was our first testing one, or was
no,
it 25?
No, actually it's 27.
Okay.
Yeah, 48 was
okay,
the
so
high.
I'll start with 48 then. 48 million, bond measure of 48 million will be able to address 78% of all of the streets. It would address 370% is.
But at 78%, could you indicate how much of that would be residential and how much of that would be main streets?
It would be, it's a proportion of the, of...
Okay.
It's based on the proportion of the areas
right.
that you see here. So it would be, of the 78%, it would be 38 million. All streets would be 62%. Your arterials, it would address 290%. Your residential streets, it would address 100%, 99% of all your residential streets, $38 million level.
Actually, let me jump in for just a second because I apologize. I'm confused with where those numbers are going, so I just want to make sure I'm understanding it.
Okay.
So at the 38 million, so if you took all of those miles, you would say 62% of all of that. So we would have, under that scenario, you'd have 62% of 62%, which would be, we'll call it approximately 40% of the residential streets done.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you go... What was the next step down, which had 290% of the collectors?
I think what we focused on on those areas was that 38 million, we asked, what if you did all residential streets?
Okay. Yes.
And the 38 million is sufficient to cover all residential streets. It wouldn't give you enough to treat any main streets, but it would cover all residential streets.
But if you spread it evenly across the system, it would cover
62%
of the whole system.
Of the whole system.
So it would be 62% of the residential streets, 62% of the arterials, and 62% of the collectors.
So at 38 million, we would get all residential streets done,
right.
And then we would need to still figure out a system for collectors and arterials.
Right. That is correct.
Okay. So yeah. Now, and I apologize. Go back to the 48 million for just a second, and reiterate that.
The 48 million would do 78% of all of the streets in your total system, and it would do 125% of your residential streets. Meaning that it's more than enough to be able to address all your residential. So that last part would then be able to go spend on arterials and collectors.
You have 11 million left to do the arterials.
We could either do then proceed down to collectors and arterials, or if we've got a funding source for those, we could then begin to develop a recurring maintenance budget.
Well, not using general obligation bond issue.
Okay.
And then the 27 million would do a combination of both. If I
remember. The
would have some left over as well to do arterials if you wanted to, but you could. Isn't that true?
No.
At 60, that would only cover 65% of your residential streets,
and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you reiterate what 48 million does?
Yes. 48 million gives you 78% of all of your streets and 125% of your residential streets. I'm assuming that that's kind of the important number.
Yes.
Okay.
So if it does all of the residential, what's next? What is it? What can it cover in addition?
You'll have $11 million left.
You've got $11
million
left over. Okay.
That we would then sit down and figure out where the next best place is to spend that based on priority and need.
Any other questions?
One last question at this point. Is that $48 million for the residential streets and so forth, that includes everything from construction to all the way down and through design and environmental and all of that?
Now, yes.
Okay, so it basically covers the entire package.
It does. It even factors in the new requirement by FHWA that you need to address and upgrade your handicap ramps when you do certain treatments on your streets.
Okay. And how about any new curb, gutter, and sidewalk?
It factors in a little bit of that, tree root repairs, lifted curb for that kind of things, and isolated drainage areas, but it does not address full-length curb repairs or sidewalk repairs.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Basically, think of everything... The paved area. What it's addressing.
Okay.
Any other questions before we move forward?
No, it's good.
Okay, let's.
Okay.
So are you introducing this one, or will they?
Yes. Okay. What I'd like to do is introduce Richard Bernard. He's with the consulting firm of FM3. He was retained to survey the potential or voters, likely voters, for their support of a bond issue, and he'll give you take you through the survey and the results.
Thank you.
Good evening. I want to thank the council and the city for inviting me to present the public opinion results, and I just want to sort of say thank you to your city staff and the city attorney, because without their help, this survey wouldn't be as good as it is. From June 8th to June 11th, we interviewed 300 City of Grover Beach voters, of which 241 were likely to vote in November 2014. We decide that based on voters' past voting behavior. We look at their voter files, as well as we include some new registrants who may have moved into the city or have turned 18 or decided it's time to get civically minded. So we've included those as well. This will be important. The margin of error for the full sample, that is questions asked of everyone, is plus or minus 5.8. That's pretty large, because if you have a number of 70, that means it can go approximately to 76, mm-hmm. or it can go down to 64. So those are things you need to consider. In some cases, very few in this survey, we asked half the sample some questions, half the sample the other. The reason for that, and it was randomly done, the reason for that is, one, we had a lot of questions, and it was already a long survey. It was 20 minutes. So we didn't want to, you know, tax your residents any more than we did. And also, sometimes by framing an issue a little bit differently, it changes support by 10 or 15%. So it was important to know how people saw things, and so we tested some words. In the case of the margin of error for likely November 2014 voters, it's a little higher, at 6.4% for all questions asked. And for half the sample, it's plus or minus 9.1. And sometimes if you're calculating quickly, you may see that it doesn't equal exactly 100%. Well, that's rounding error. So please give me some slack on the 99 to 101. I guess as we go through the survey, there will be points where I will show you all voters and likely voters. It's been my experience, and it's sort of borne out here, that all voters tend to be a little bit more supportive than likely voters. And so turnout models matter. So general elections like the one in November are better than the June elections. You have to bear in mind that they're at this moment, it may change. At this moment, it does not appear to be a competitive governor's race, and so there's less incentive to come out. I believe a recent poll found Governor Brown at 20% ahead. So the key is to get people out to vote. I wanted to just get a mood, a sense, and basically it's a nice report card for you to see their sentiment before we got into anything related to streets. So we didn't ask about specifically streets yet. It's just general sentiment. And you'll notice that we have data from 2006 and 2004. We were fortunate enough to work with your city for Measure X and Measure O. And so we did polling ahead of time. And so in 2004, the blue is the right direction, the red is the wrong track, the sort of the white is mixed, and the gray is they don't know enough information to offer an opinion. In 2004, you were at 55% right direction. In 2006, you dipped down to 38%. That having been said, you won Measure X, but it was a simple majority vote. So, you know, it's a general fund, sales tax. And this one is a two-thirds measure. And so throughout the survey, keep that 66 plus one vote in your mind, because we'll be looking at the votes and we'll be looking at reactions to educational information, and we always want something to be above that, so we know there's hope. And finally, 2014, We're at 51% right direction, 23% wrong track. So over the years, you've bounced back. I can tell you that since we are slowly coming out of the recession, that most right track numbers have improved across jurisdictions, generally cities. I just recently did City of LA. It's at also 51% right direction. So you're at least, and in no other way, is probably comparable in that way. I'll assume you're just better, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're getting into the roads. I wanted to start with a conceptual question before I hit the voters with any kind of dollar figure. We want to know if this is a serious problem. So we asked, in your personal opinion, do you think there's a great need, some need, little need, or no real need for additional funds to help the city improve the quality of local streets in Grover Beach? And as you could see, 74% said great need, and 15% said some need, so for a total of 89%. So 9 out of 10 voters get this issue. It's very tested a ballot question. And as you may know, by law, it can only be 75 words, title and summary, so it can't have everything, but there are additional appendices, ordinance, exhibits that will accompany that. Unfortunately, 99% of the voters will never see it. Partly out of choice, partly out of it's difficult to get to, but they'll all see the ballot question if they go and they vote, or if they get an absentee ballot. Now, I also appreciate that the council are the ones who are going to decide what will go into the title and summary. I get that, but we have to test something. So we worked with your exceptional city staff. And we try to marry your needs with our experience in successfully passing measures. And we came up with at least this start of a ballot language. I think the survey results will help inform, strengthen the ballot language. But this, I think, was a pretty good start. I'll give you a second if you'd like to read it. If you haven't, I think it's in front of you. This is all they heard. There are more than 75 words because we put ands in, because if we put slashes, it doesn't make sense on the phone when you're listening to it. But when you look at it, it does make sense. But it's 75 words. So we talk about what the money is going to be used for, some of the things they're going to be used for. There may be additional things, but we can only put so much in a 75-word. We give them the ballot, the amount that we're going to start with, which was the high mark was 48. You never negotiate on the phone low to high. You go high to low. Because once you tell them, oh, well, it's 35 or 37, then you say, well, what about 48? And they'll say, you just told me you could do this for 37. So you go high to low to get a sense of their tolerance, which is important, and you'll see in a moment. And you'll notice that we've included some accountability components to it. I can tell you, walking away from the survey, that accountability in general is really important. I don't see measures passed at all without them. But your voters are very clear accountability is important. They may like you, but they want to make sure someone's watching you. So I would encourage you, if you choose to go forward, to make sure it's loaded with accountability. So they feel comfortable that the money will be spent. Let's try to push them a little by saying, well, where would you lean? If they told us, we put them in whatever lean, they say lean yes or lean no. If they were pure undecided, we kept them there. You know, it's their choice. They can choose. That's a pretty low undecided number, which suggests to me people kind of get the issue. You know, they're depending on what side they're on. So let me tell you the results. So first of all, overall, the definitely probably and lean are 75%, yes. The definitely probably and lean no is 20%. And the undecided, as I mentioned, was 6. I tend to like to look at the definitely and probably because they're more in the yes camp. The leans are, well, you're going to have to convince these people to move in that direction. So the definitely yes at 48% is a really good number to start for a two-thirds measure. It effectively says that approximately one in two of all your voters are definitely there. You know, so you have to get the other, you know, 16 plus one percent votes. But the other item is the definitely no. Usually I see in ballot measures about 20%, about 2 in every 10 say it doesn't matter what you want to raise the money for, I'm not going to support it. So if I tell them, and I've done this in a focus group, this guy had a stroke, he had recovered. I said, we used the money to build a hospital next to your house so that if you have another stroke, they can get you there as quickly as possible. He said, I'm not paying a dime. So there's always a percentage of people that are just anti-tax. But this is extremely low given the substantive matter of it. It tells me that approximately 9 out of 10 voters are in play. And that's a good place to be. If we look at likely voters compared to all voters, so you just saw this, 75% yes, 20% no. The likely voters, you'll notice the intensity is a little lower at 45%, still a good number, but there's really no statistical difference between the likely and the all voters. I feel really good about that because I would have expected a much larger difference. Of course, at the end of the day, and I know you cannot advocate, you can only educate, but folks on your behalf, or when you're not on the city clock, need to help bring out people. Even if they say, you know, I haven't voted in years, this is it. This is the time you got to come. So that will increase the likelihood of 6%. This is all voters. 76%, 19% say no. So statistically, not much difference. We're starting as you go down to see a definitely yes that is creeping up, which is good. It suggests that there is some tax tolerance. And the likelihood of passing it increases, and probably this is not surprising to you as the dollar figure goes down. But the flip side is, as was just presented in an excellent presentation, was that the less money you have, the less you can do. And the problem is that voters are not going to remember that at the end of the day. They're going to say, we paid X million dollars to get our streets fixed, and you've only done X percentage. What's happening with the other part? And you'll tell them, we didn't have enough money. And they'll say, well, had I known that, I would never have voted for this in the beginning. So it's a really, really tricky position to be in. I don't envy you. 27 million we asked. There, again, it's 76, so the total yes, not statistically different. But now we're 7 points on the definitely yes higher at 27 million. The definitely no is just declined just very, very modestly, so not much difference. On the likely November voters, the numbers are just slightly lower, but statistically not much difference. It's a kind of the same story. It goes up a little bit on the definitely yes as you go down, but statistically overall, if you can get enough of the leans and the probably in your camp, you might be able to pass it. Again, this is very close to the margin of error. And so it could go either way. You could be, for example, at the 38 million, you could be, if it's about 7%, you could be at 82 or you could be at 68. And if it's at 68, you'll pass this, but it will be a nail biter. You'll be up late November 9th. Here's one of the concerns. We wanted to tell them what it would cost with 1/100,000th of assessed value. Because invariably, you're going to do community meetings and someone is going to ask you that. I want to be clear that in the ballot question that everyone sees, it does not have that. And it will never have that. It's in the accompanying documents that will tell them. So the only chance they'll know is if they ask you or if the city communicates it. Now, my experience over the decade less value. Now, my understanding is that the median price is about 250, 255. So that tells you what the median folks would be paying.
So quick
yeah,
question
sure.
there for just a second, just to make sure. So that would be assessed value, not...
Right. Assessed value, not market value.
Not market value. Okay.
Right. Thank you. And we actually read that on the phone. We say 100,000ths of assessed value, assessed property valuation, which is based on the amount your home is valued at the at for property taxes, not the current market value of your house. Mm-hmm. Excellent question. And we wanted them to know that because most people wouldn't know that. So it was we repeated that every time so they know that. So the next level, which was $38 million, is at $144 per 100,000. And then 102 is the last level at $27 million at 100,000 of assessed value. Notice the numbers are not as high as they were when we just talked about them in the context of $1 million. They're much lower. And these are for all voters. You'll notice the drop is even more dramatic for likely November voters. So we saw at 181, we were at 57 for all voters on the yes. We're now down to 50 on the likely November voters. Now, the margin of error is a little bigger, but it does suggest tax tolerance, you know. But I want you to remember this because we're going to come back and ask the vote question again as it would be in the ballot a little later on, and the numbers rebound. So this is information they know. They're carrying it through on the survey. And let me go on to some of the survey, and then we'll go back to the vote again. So we wanted to isolate why people were supporting or not supporting the ballot measure. And in order to do that, we decided to isolate the different components of the ballot measure and other items that could be included in the ballot measure. And we said, regardless of whether you support this or not at the moment, how important is it to you to use the funds for this particular purpose? And so if we read these things randomly, and we said, is it extremely important, which is the dark blue, very important, which is the light blue, which I've now summed up on the right-hand side and ranked. So you see extremely and very important on the right-hand side. Then the red is somewhat important, and the gray is they either said not too important or they don't know. And if they, you know, they want to make sure that it's in a sort of, you don't call it a trust fund here, I think, but some kind of designated fund that is like, this is for roads, nothing could touch it. No public safety, no anything. I mean, obviously, if you have better roads, there will be better public safety. But it's all about roads. Okay, next. And you'll notice the accountability items are the highest ranking, requiring all funds be used locally. There is, and I'm certain it's true of every council. I don't see why it would be different for you. There is always a concern in cities that the state grabs money, takes money, cuts money, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a very good message for you folks, and I'm sure you're very comfortable on communicating that. The money is here. We make the decisions because we understand our roads, and Sacramento can't take a dollar from it. So important component that you need to articulate. Even though you know by law that's true, you need to articulate it in the ballot question because most folks don't know. Why should they know? That's not their expertise. Then funding street improvements such as reconstructing and resurfacing deteriorating residential streets. This is the crux of your issue, and you're at 88%. That suggests to me that the city's viewed concerns nicely match with your voters' concerns. It's a really nice tie. We don't always get that. So you are in tune, and the voters are in tune with the issues together. And that's a good place to be. And I'm going to just stop because there's only so much time. But improving the drivability of Grover Beach streets. I mean, you got 50% who just say extremely important. And, you know, some people are kind of modest in saying extremely. They'll say very. That's why we combine them together. But they're not modest here. They're pretty, you know, pretty strong about these issues. All right. Then we
I apologize.
No, go.
If you could bounce back. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Some of them have asterisks. Some of them don't. Is there a reason?
Oh, yeah. Some of them were asked of half the sample. So okay. The ones in the asterisks were asked of half the sample. So the margin of error is a little higher.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Then we, again, you can't advocate, you can only educate. So we worked with the city to come up with educational statements that the city would be comfortable in articulating that the city attorney approved as not plus one. Accountability, the number one item. But now, statistically, overall, 79, 77, not much difference. But look at the much more inclined. It's huge. It's 57%. So that tells me that obviously people don't vote for it solely because you have accountability in it. There's a reason for it. You need to build these roads. But you must have accountability as a component. There's no question about it. If you don't have it, you're not going to pass this. But I think you folks are pretty comfortable with that. You have in the past. So I don't think that's a problem. The next one, and this is really, really important, is we took a fact from your consultants. 71% of Grover Beach residential streets and 58% of major streets are rated poor or failed by independent pavement management engineers. It is about time we have these essential repairs before they get even worse. 77%, so three out of every four voters, and I don't believe there was much difference between the likely voters and all voters, said they're much or somewhat more inclined to vote for the measure knowing this. This tells me that your strength is in the truth. You have facts that you can go out, and there was a nice article that the city manager was sent out to the local papers with a lot of other facts. We were limited in time, so we couldn't test everything, but I would encourage you to tell the truth and tell the facts. You know, and that makes a difference, because I could be, yeah, there are problems with the road, but if I hear that between 6 and 10 years from now we won't have a street system if we don't do something, that's like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to have like any streets to drive on? That's pretty powerful. So the facts will tell the story. And we tested some other messages that didn't hit the two-thirds, but still were pretty strong, that the state takeaways that you've experienced means you have less revenue and therefore you need more money for the streets. And then property values, that if you have streets to drive on, the businesses will do better, houses will be worth more. That's a good thing. And what was interesting, because I was talking to the city attorney and city manager beforehand, I looked at the differences between renters and owners, and there was no difference on the impact of the statement. Usually, you know, renters might think, oh, well, you know, it's they're going to raise the rents. You know, there was no difference, which was, it may be a little higher in either one if you include all residents. I'm not sure.
Can you give me those numbers again?
Sure. Again, remember, with the margin of error, for the sample of all voters, you have 63% who said they were homeowners and 36% who said they were renters, 1% refused to answer.
Okay. Thank you.
That gives me 100. On this one, I'm good. All right. So should I go on, or are I happy to answer other ones?
No, go.
Okay.
Go.
All right. So we gave them some education, right? So let me and then we re-asked the ballot question in full and said, if there was an election today, would you vote yes in favor and no to oppose? So this is on the 48 million. So remember, the initial vote when they just heard the ballot question was 75%, 20% no, 6% undecided. After hearing the educational information, that includes how much it will be per 100,000th of assessed value, what the money will be used for, and the factual information of the importance of this measure, everything you've seen, they heard, we then asked, if an election today, would you vote yes in favor, no to oppose? We stay at the 75% mark yes for all voters, 21% no, 3% undecided. So while you saw the support dip on the 100,000th of assessed value, when we revisited the $48 million, it rebounded up to where it was with very marginal differences. I think that's why you see the slight declines. People said, oh, no, I remember that, $181 per 100,000th of assessed value. And likely November 2014 voters, not much statistical difference than all voters. Start at 74, 21. After that education, 73, 24. It's close. You folks are close. You're on the bubble, you know, in terms. But it's some type of measure is clearly possible. And you're going to have to sort of collectively talk about how much it's going to be, if you're going to do a measure and all that. I'm certainly here as long as you need me for you to ask questions. But I want to get to two other questions, and then we'll be done. We wanted to get a sense of trying to combine, and it was done just previously in discussion. They're slightly different numbers, but this was to the choices, and we randomly read them. And we wanted to get a forced choice from them. So we said, I'm going to mention three possible street improvement plans. There could be 100 of them. There's so many combinations and permutations, but three of them, plans being considered. Regardless of whether you support the measure we've been discussing, please tell me which one you would prefer, even if none of the options match your views exactly. So one item was fix all residential streets for $38 million, which was one of the dollar figures we asked, the middle point. Fix about three-quarters of the residential streets and major streets in the city for $48 million. Or fix all major streets for $27 million. And you could see that a plurality chose fixing all residential streets for $38 million. But a plurality is not going to get you there, right? It would be fine if it was just an election and that would tell you what to do, but it's not. You need two-thirds. So these results tell me that you need some kind of mix between residential streets and some major streets. Because if I take the mixed choice of residential and major streets, you're at 30. And if you take the major streets, you're at 16. So that's 46% that want some kind of major streets in some either combination or exclusively. You are certainly, and I know this will be shocking, being on the council, you certainly are not going to please everyone. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But it seems to me that a mix may satisfy enough people. Finally, and this is to me one of the most concerning slides and something you need to be aware of. We said, still thinking about the bond measure. This came at the end of the survey, so they've heard everything. Still thinking about the bond measure we've been discussing, I'm going to read you a pair of statements and ask you to tell me which one you feel is a more accurate statement about what will happen if the bond measure does not pass. So we created a potential scenario. And we asked them to just give us one, but sometimes people will say both or neither. So the first one, and it was randomly done, I've just ranked it in order of responses. The city will be unable to pay for upgrades and repairs of local streets. The other one is the city will find some other way to pay for upgrades and repairs of local streets. Statistically, it's a dead heat. This is a problem. Voters aren't sure what you do with your money, even though it's public there's public disclosure, you may have it on the website, it could be in the libraries, it could be whatever. They don't know what you're doing with the money, but they're pretty sure whatever you're doing, it's not good. So that's their perception. And again, it's not about you folks. It's a general perception of government. I've never seen it different in any other city. So this is something that you need to consider, but I don't want you to take it personally like, oh, it's only about us. And why do I know that? Is because the majority of folks think that the direction of the city is going well. And that's something for you to hold your hat on. And I believe that's it.
Thank you.
Sure.
So we'll have council member questions, and then we'll ask the public to come forward. And with the public, normally we don't necessarily say ask us questions, but tonight I'd like to make an exception to that. If you have questions when we get to that stage, if they're not answered by us, then if you want to go ahead and raise your questions, and of course your comments too, I'll write them all down and we'll answer them all at the end so everybody knows how we're progressing.
Yes. I have a question out of curiosity.
Yep.
This obviously, I think as you mentioned, was a survey took between 10 and 15 minutes.
No. It was actually a little more. I can't remember the exact time, but it's something like 17,
okay,
on average 17, 18 minutes. In some cases, it could be 25 if someone wants to you know, pontificate or think about things. They're like, oh, I'm not sure, let me think about it, you know, and then they'll talk. So it varies, and some can do it in 15.
Were you actually making some of the calls?
I was not.
You are not.
No, I've graduated beyond that. My PhD gives me a status. We farm the surveys out to telephone banks, U.S.-based.
Okay. Well, in talking to those people, did you discuss with them the attitude of the respondents, the people that they were talking to? How many people hung up on them?
I can tell you that we pretty much called everyone we could. You don't have a very large, comparatively large population. You should know that you have about 6,160 registered voters. Not everyone gave phones when they registered. Mm-hmm. What we've done is, and we're one of the only firms to do that, we will take the list of names and addresses, and we will take the vendor will match them to other lists of phone numbers and addresses to update the numbers. So, for example, 55 voters. Mm-hmm. Again, we didn't have telephones for all of them, but we had them for the bulk of them. So,
okay, but my question was the reaction of the people that you talked to.
Right, right. I understand. I just wanted to give some background. The interviewers are trained for each survey, and they are told to stay on script. And so all their job is to do is ask the questions and indicate the response on the computer. That's it. And if people start saying, well, I don't know, which streets are you including? First of all, the odds of the telephone the interviewer ever having been in Grover Beach are pretty small. So they certainly wouldn't know. So they would just say, I'm sorry, I have to stay to the script. I don't have any additional information. So there wasn't time or encouragement to have that exchange. But to answer your question in a different way, I would say, look at the data. And look at, in terms of their sentiment, you've got 3 of every 4 saying there's a great need. I'm certain that those folks are not happy folks when you talk about streets. I think most people are pretty unhappy about streets because that number is humongous. So I'm hoping I answered your question, not directly, but through the data. Did I?
Okay. So.
Oh, you want to ask
as well as you could, and I appreciate
it.
Okay. That's good.
One question I had, and it kind of leads into what was perhaps part of your questioning.
Yeah.
Was there any discussion on how long it would take to complete the project?
We did not mention that in the beginning. Okay. Our experience is if you tell someone it's a 17-minute survey, they're hanging up.
No, actually, a completely different thought. Let's say it takes 20 years to
complete. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, okay, I got it. Okay, all right. Sorry, I thought you were asking a methodology question. All right. So, we only talked about we didn't talk about the number of years. No, we didn't. We did not talk about the number of years it would take.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
No.
In your past history or past knowledge of doing surveys like this, would it have made a significant difference or would it have changed the numbers?
It may have. I mean, first of all, their reaction is do something, right? That's real clear. My experience about bonds, and sometimes it's transportation or it's other things, is they don't get why it takes so long. Why do you need 20 years to fix 85% of the streets? They don't get it.
Just one quick one, I think.
Sure.
You had mentioned, you alluded to earlier on, that a better bet is to go after the 2016 presidential election because we should be able to get more voters?
Well, I'm not entirely saying. I would always say you have a better turnout model for the 2016. It seems to me that you have, you obviously are the expert, so I'll defer to you. You have a problem that needs to be addressed now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can afford to wait 2 years because then it goes on the property tax the following year. So we're not even talking 2 years. We're really talking 3 years out, right?
Okay.
So a little more. So my sense is that you may have a shot here.
Okay.
Certainly if you were doing it in June, I'd say, don't do it. But you may have a shot here. If I were to come back in 2 years and look at your likely November 2016 voters, because we see voters, all voters in general, are a little bit more supportive, you may have a better shot November 16th. Okay. But I think you, if done correctly, and that means that you know, you get help in learning how to or in figuring out what to communicate and where, and you have support from the outside community who can advocate, like the, you know, you have some you know, strong union people here, you have good chamber, you have all these different organizations, you need their help. And if they live here, they know there's a need. Hmm. So it's, I don't know if it's such a hard sell.
Okay.
So now I do have a question.
Sure.
I understood you to say more voters, better results.
Correct.
Okay, so the more people we get out to vote, then more likely would be better results.
I believe that to be the case.
Okay, thank you.
I have two questions.
Sure.
The first one I wanted to clarify, you've mentioned several times that we can inform but not advocate, and I'm just wondering, City Attorney, does that apply to the council or just to staff?
It applies to everyone.
Okay.
No city money can be spent on a campaign, advocacy campaign. It is proper, however, to inform and provide factual information, and obviously that's what we've done in the past, and that's what we will do if this moves forward.
So as a council member, we can't go and say, I think you should vote for this. We recommend you vote for this.
In your personal capacity, not on company time, for lack of a better word.
Not on my business card. All the residential streets for $38 million. And those, the questions, I have a feeling that perhaps they're a little bit skewed, because we are very aware that it's the residential streets that people want fixed. That's what they're really anxious about or annoyed about. And so if in question B we said we weren't going to do all the residential streets, but it was going to be $10 million more, I think that skews it to the negative. And I'm wondering if you feel there would be a difference if we'd said for $48 million we'll fix all the residential streets and some and whatever, you know, and some others. Do you think that result might have been different? And would that affect?
If that was a potential scenario, it could have been different. But may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
All right. How do you know that everyone has the issue with the residential streets only?
I will not ever say everyone.
Okay.
Ever.
All right. Okay.
But I will say that we do hear a lot from our community that really it's the residential streets. When we hear that people are fed up and annoyed, that's what they're fed up and annoyed about.
So if I look at this data, and your question is excellent, because you're right, different scenarios may have meant different things. You know, there's only so much time we had. But if I look at these items, if I look at the top one and I add it to the bottom, the second one, 72% want something going on, something to happen to residential streets. So in that sense, you know, the data bears out what you're saying. But I also look at the second one and the third one and see 46% want something to be done with the major streets. So you can't, you can't ignore that. I'm not telling you what the balance will be. Part of that will be, you know, the road experts and your, you know, your conventional wisdom. But I can tell you that one or the other exclusively could be a problem. But it could be that scenario that you suggested. That might be the, in a sweet spot. We didn't test it.
Okay. And I should say, I think I can say everyone. Everyone in Grover Beach who mentions streets mentions residential, and many do. Especially those from outside, but locally, they do mention the main streets too.
I will simply say, I know you have way more experience here than I do, so I will defer to that. But if I look at just the data, and it's you know, a statistically based sample, but the margin of error is fairly large, that 16% are very focused on the major streets.
Okay.
Exclusively.
So, okay.
And I know this. Correct.
Was there any questions that might have asked if a different funding source was available, that someone would prefer that, say, an assessment district tax, some other funding source?
Well, I know the answer, but do you want to speak to that?
Actually, I can, and we can get into the details a little bit at any point. But the reality was we only asked the general obligation bond because at least from staff's perspective, it was the most effective way of providing a major infusion of cash for an affordable amount of money over a period of time. And that's why we directed it towards the general obligation bond issue.
You know, I think that raises a really good question, though, that we do hear sometimes, well, let's just do a sales tax. That makes a lot more sense. Or, you know, why aren't we doing it in, I've forgotten that last term you used, in districts? And I'm wondering if you can speak to that at all. Give us an idea of what our sales tax does raise. And
well, sure. Be glad to. Sales tax, and I've heard that question before. Give you an example. The sales tax, the half-cent sales tax that was adopted back in 2006, raises approximately $500,000 per year. Even if you were able to dedicate an additional half-cent sales tax of $500,000 per year, it wouldn't be sufficient to get much of a street program completed in light of what we need. There just isn't much of a commercial base here, and that's one of the issues that we have. Assessment districts, the difficulty with the assessment districts is, yes, you could do it by assessment district, but the problem is number one, requires additional upfront costs. You'd end up having to employ an engineer that would end up developing an engineer's report. The actual cost is based on benefit, so you would have to develop a benefit structure that would vary between, let's say, commercial and residential. They would pay different amounts. And then the difficulty, another difficulty with the assessment district is on an annual basis, that again would only drive about $500,000, which wouldn't be sufficient to really undertake the types of improvements that were needed. Again, if you did take undertake a parcel tax, that would be required two-thirds as well. To really make a dent in it, if you believe that, it would cost, if you even wanted to approach getting to a $5 million $5 million revenue source through a parcel assessment, the assessments become astronomical. You're looking at $800 to $1,000 per parcel per year. So that just doesn't work. So that's just kind of a reiteration of, you know, and if you remember when Mr. Pesci was here in December, we went through those different alternatives, and that's what led us to the general obligation bond issue and thus testing those amounts.
So let me ask you the most extreme question, and because I hear this sometimes. What if we were to shut down the whole city, fire the police, fire the fire department, fire the council, fire the staff, close down the chambers? We'd have $7.3 million minus whatever it would cost for one person to administer street repairs. So let's say we'd have $7 million. Would $7 million, if we shut everything down, would $7 million do the job?
Probably
a year?
Not.
Okay.
But then, you know, you have to think about the other ramifications.
Well, of course. Yeah. I wasn't really going there. I was just asking if that were an option, would it even work?
The problem that the city has had historically is that because we're primarily property tax based, we just there isn't sufficient money at $7.5 million to provide the general services that we're required to provide as an incorporated city and maintain the extensive street system. It's just not possible.
And so, and most people are thinking, well, I pay pretty significant amount of property taxes. Why isn't that sufficient? Can you explain why that's not?
Well, I know that the council's well aware of, the property tax, again, is based on approximately 1% of the assessed value. out of every property tax that is collected, we get seven.
Come forward and speak. But since I've got two here, we've got Gracia and Jean Bello. So whichever of the two of you would like to come forward, and you can both come forward. Obviously, we've got two slips here.
I'd like to have a turn in the paper to get up here to talk to you.
You do not.
Next time I'll know. Okay. Well, before you even talked, I supported this, okay? I've lived here since 1956, and you must do the roads, and you must do them now. So you must vote yes. What amount you pick is up to you, but it better be correct as a voter, okay?
No pressure.
What we all have to do is educate the public, or you won't win. If we educate the public, we can win. I think he told us that. How many votes do we need?
It's 66 and 2/3%.
So that's how many?
We have 31.
What's the minimum?
About 2,000. We need about 2,000 people.
I can talk to 3,000, okay. How many can you talk to?
Got to get them to the polls. Got to get them to vote.
I think you also have to emphasize something else I didn't hear mentioned, or I missed it. We have streets that are built by other people in our town. The main drags, things like that. Do we take care of those streets, or do they take care of them? How many miles?
I'd said we weren't going to answer them, but I think it's important. I'm not going to hold all these. Let's go
people
ahead and answer that.
People will ask us, you know.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what, you know, the streets are all city streets with the exception of Highway 1, which is along our western border. The rest of them are all city streets. We have been fortunate to obviously get grant funding. I can't right off the top of my head tell you how many miles of streets we've had redone as a result of grant funding, but those are major collectors in our major streets like Grand Avenue. Once those streets are repaired or rehabilitated by grant funding, then we are responsible for the maintenance.
Okay, so I think she may be talking about Oak Park.
Well, any street that we did not build or not responsible to build or repair. And we tell people all the time, we don't take care of those streets. So I want to know which they are. Not tonight.
Unless they were built before 1959, December 31st, 1959, okay. When we incorporated, then they were done by the county.
Okay. I would bet you anything people are going to ask you that. I just have one more, really. How much will we take in annually on the bonds that, what percent are you going to sell them at and that kind of stuff?
That's a good question. Do we have any answers?
Well, I think what was presented to the council in December, and which I think is still basically the structure in gross and general terms, I think feasibly about $5 million a year is the size of the project that can be conducted and maintained on an annual basis. So I think that is the plan.
Do we have any idea of what the costs of that would be, what the rates are?
The interest rates? Mm-hmm. That will ultimately be determined at the time that they go to the market and are issued. And it will, you're talking about the interest to the
buyer
of the bond. Yeah, that will be determined at the time that it goes to the market. And the depending on how much is issued, it would be an incremental release. We've talked about $5 million at a time, so there would be several different issues over a period of years. I will tell you that the interest is tax exempt, so they're a little bit more attractive to the bond buyers.
Are they muni bonds?
Yes, they would be.
So they don't pay income tax on that?
Right, that's correct.
We should use all of these points that we can, and if you put it on a piece of paper, I will use it, and I think there are a lot of other people who would use it also.
May I ask you one question?
What?
You said we'd better get the number right.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts as to what that number is? What's your opinion?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. I'll be a politician tonight.
All right. Jean Bello. Let's see if you can better Gracias. Gracias, excuse me, Gracia.
My name is Gene Bello, and I've been in this city for a few years. I had a business here for 38 years, and we've closed that now. But to me, this is the most important thing we've had coming up for a long time, because what it's going to do is going to increase the value of each lot in town. You have to kind of look at it that property worth more, then this is going to be important for everybody to think about. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? And if you can give us your name and your city of residence.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. I'm John LaFerrier from Grover Beach. Come to you before you as an interested citizen this evening. I have questions for the first presenter, the second presenter, and you, so I'm just going to stick with questions two. I think they're easy enough. They'll understand them. I think you'll understand them, so I don't think you have to pause for wait for answers. I think it'd be better if I just spit them out. So for the first presentation, I was hoping you would ask for some clarity about dollars versus PCI. You know, what is a PCI 17 street versus a PCI 80 street cost? And get some granularity about it. Second, I'd hope that the tool that they have where they went and measured all the streets would show us a map in PCI and some sort of color-coded look, shaded, whatever, PCI condition versus a map. And, you know, since they know how much it costs, they could just put another version up that had dollars. So I'd hope that you'd consider asking for that detail. For the second presentation, I enjoy people predicting the future. I always wish before they started they would go back and analyze the past and see if they understand that. I got the 2006 election results for our sales tax measure, 64% turnout for the county. In Grover Beach, it was 54. You subtract all the people that left that measure blank, and you're down to 50%. So I think that's what you would say your expectation is. If you remember, people, that polled well over two-thirds, but the decision was made because the general fund needed some money to have a balanced approach, and it was done as a general tax. And that passed by 55.7%. So I would hope you would consider asking the gentleman that has the survey results from 2006 if the results have taught him anything about how people in Grover Beach vote and what we could do to apply that lesson learned to what we may expect on this measure. And lastly, for the council, when you've had prior discussions about using the existing funds, pavement management system, there's been a theme about, well, these streets we're going to ignore, these streets we're going to continue to crumble. And if you ask the consultants to describe the smart way this is done, I think it would really convey efficiency to the voters and organized by street you're involved in. So I hope you'll consider those questions.
Thank you. I'm wondering if any of the consultants would like, or maybe I'll give you a little time to process those questions. Are you ready? Can you respond to some of those? Thank you.
The program does take into a granulation type of an effect in terms of breakpoints based on PCIs and the types of treatments and the cost of those treatments. And so when it's doing the projections, it's using those numbers, and that's in our full report, that information. The program also has a GIS tool, a map that can, and we didn't pull it up on here because the color would be red. But that is accessible, and it is part of the program as well.
So we've paid for that information. It wouldn't cost us more. And where could people access that full report?
It's all in our... It's in our final report here, and then, however, the
so they could come to City Hall to get that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm wondering. Let me just.
So
the questions we had were dollars versus PCI, 17 versus 80, differences in cost. Is that something that you analyzed?
Yeah, that's what's in here with the granulation that he talked about and the breakpoint. So a PCI that is between a 70 and a 50 is going to have a different cost to rehabilitate.
And you use those figures to come up with the costs of repairs. Okay.
Yes.
And then, so there is a tool. There, we will be able to see a map in the PCI condition versus dollars. That's there.
That's correct.
Okay.
Actually, before we leave that question, just maybe just a question for the council and for staff. Would it be appropriate to put that online on the city website? I mean, I'm sure it's a fascinating report, and people will chew it up, and it'll be a bestseller. But
I happen to believe that because I believe everyone loves pavement.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, doesn't everyone dream about it? Well, in Grover,
yeah.
We do.
Nightmares, more like it.
Yeah. It's just a matter of...
It is a public document, and it can be on the website.
I think if we could put it on the website...
Technologically, we can...
On the first page, on the home page.
On the home page, as part of our educational outreach, if we do decide to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the next one... Did you feel we answered the questions that you were...
There was the last... question, I think, about
that we could, because we know that we can get extended life out of those streets. Mm-hmm. It really ultimately comes down to a question, actually to a certain extent, a policy question for the council, how they want to direct that funding, in that, you know, with the limited, you're not obviously going to get $102 million, we know that. Realistically, with the GO bond, let's say at 38 or even 48, you're going to have to make some decisions. And one way to approach that, simply with the way our streets are deteriorating, is to focus those dollars on the streets that need it the most. And we'd be able to tell that also with the PCI measurement tool. And I ask Greg to add anything that he might want to relative to that question.
Thank you. Greg Ray, Public Works Director. Mr. LeFerrier brought up, I think, a great question, and I'm going to answer it in part and then hopefully with some backup from Mr. Ryrie from PEI. But there is a smartest way, definitely, to do street maintenance. And if you have the funding and you have flexibility with the funding, one of the great things that you do is develop a pavement management system tool, and in this case, that's what they've done for us. And the pavement management system tool will help you decide how to best spend the money. I think you sort of alluded to the concept of the worst first, for example, is one of the ways of some communities have actually done, repaired the worst streets first, and that actually ends up being costing you more money than sometimes keeping the good streets in their best shape. But I want to come back around quickly to if you had flexibility of funding. There are a lot of challenges that the city faces here, you know, not just getting money, but in fact getting money that has flexibility. And I think, as City Manager Peralta has pointed out, this is probably the best and most flexible funding we're likely to get. And yet even it comes with strings attached. It requires capital improvement, and so we can't slurry streets with it. We can't crack seal streets with it. Probably even can't do light overlays. Well, we could probably get maybe light overlays. So it challenges the pavement management system to come up with comment on that if you'd like. So,
yeah, the. The challenge is with the bond measure, you have to use it in capital improvements, as Greg mentioned. So you end up being forced into doing major rehabilitation on the roads. In Grover Beach's situation, you do have a small percentage of streets that are in okay shape and could benefit from a slurry treatment. The bond doesn't allow you to be able to do that. And so one of the scenarios that we've been playing around with is the scenario of what do you do with those streets when you get them into good shape? You're talking about bond measures that are going to go over decades. A brand new street only lasts 20 years. That's its design service life. And so you can get more life out of it if you do preventative maintenance to it, and you can extend out that life not indefinitely, but you can probably get it into the 30-plus range in terms of its service life. And so the question then is, all right, we're going to do all of these this work on these streets. Now, how do we maintain them? And so we've been playing around with ideas of using the bond money to rehabilitate the streets, then using your annual budget that you have, which don't have those kind of strings attached to it, to do the maintenance. The difference in cost is you'll spend several dollars per square foot to do your rehabilitation. You'll only spend pennies per square foot to do the maintenance on it and the slurry. And so that's where we're using that type of a scenario, that even though it's limited in the amount, $300,000, we're playing with the idea of how much can that maintain.
Thank you. And so just to be clear, this is actually a very specialized software program where you input the information and then it helps come up with the choices. Okay.
Yes, it is. It's used by a large percentage of the agencies in California. It's a very popular program, and it was developed for the Bay Area. And so the great thing is it's a program that's developed by local agencies for local agencies. It's not a one that would do airport.
The part of the ballot measure language was to reconstruct and resurface. So are we have a fine line here of what resurfacing would be?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to comment. Resurfacing is considered major rehabilitation in terms of you're going to get 10 plus years out of an overlay, which is the industry standard for.
Right. Okay, so if we have a road of a 75 PCI, an overlay is going to extend it or get it above the 85, but that might be one of those roads that we wait until we put funding in other locations before we come back to that, to when we have the mechanism under the bond that actually allows us to resurface the road. Mm-hmm. So there is
another part to think about this. If you've got the street with the PCI of 75, you won't be concentrating initially on that road. You'll concentrate on those roads that need the most work up front. And obviously this rehabilitation will fund rehabilitation over a number of years. It's not anything that's going to be done tomorrow. It literally will take 20 years to work your way through the entire program. By the time you get to the end of that 20-year period, your road at 75 PCI will be down to where you need to use the money to deal with that. And so it's a management of the system.
So are we saying that this is a 20-year that we're really probably talking about a 20-year project?
You could, very seriously, because you have to think you have a major problem. It's going to take a number of years to rehabilitate, and it's how quickly the city can take on construction work. You probably can't do somewhere more than conceivably with the small organization we have. You can't do between much more than $5 million per year. So if you actually are authorizing an issue, let's say, of 25 to 30 million, you're going to schedule that out through an extended period of time. And that's where I'm saying that part of the focus would be most likely to get at the streets that need it the most upfront. The incremental issuance of the bonds, if you do 5 million, if you remember the scenario that Mr. Pesce presented us with, back again in December, I think it was based on something like $30 million and an initial issue of $5 million, followed in a couple of years later by a second issue of $5 million. And if you'll recall, the initial assessment was much lower than the $102 per 100,000. It was more like 28, mm-hmm. 52, and it builds. That's not to say that by the time you've got to the end of your bond utilization, you are paying significantly higher rates, but the average is brought down by the slower level, the gradual issuance of the bonds, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. The only other question that Mr. LaFerriere had that we didn't answer was whether or not perhaps Mr. Bernard knows if what happened in 2006 and our voter turnout gives us anything to consider for now.
I have a few thoughts on this. One is I did take past voter history in consideration, and that's why you've got a likely turnout and then all voters. And that's based on past voter history of your voters specifically, not anyone else's, but your voters. So that was thought about in the construction of the sample. But the problem here is that you have a comparatively small population of registered voters. And if you had 50,000 registered voters, I could even do a tighter sample. The problem is that if I do a tighter sample of the number I can complete here, your margin of error would be huge. And so what I can tell you is this. I can tell you that from our past experience in Grover Beach, we've been successful at predicting elections because you want to, and we worked on those two. I could tell you that they were 50 plus one measures. And I know my experiences that a two-thirds measure is a little bit of a different animal, so that's important to know. I can tell you that changing the turnout model as winning, so we don't have to do anything. We don't have to expend any money because it's just going to naturally happen. The survey simulates your educational outreach. If you choose not to take that on, the numbers are not going to grow, and they will not solidify. Some people will, shockingly, not even have heard of it until they actually get to the ballot booth or their absentee ballot and say, oh, there's a road measure. You've been talking about it for how many years? Certainly the next 8 months, if you choose to go forward, or 6 months. But some people will say, didn't know anything about it. So a lot of it has to do with how this plays out. And I can just sort of simulate. This is a case scenario depending on what you do. But I can't definitively stand up here and say if you do nothing, you know, it's a slam dunk. Some cities I can say that. Often it's very rare and very rare to find. But I think it's viable if you think about doing the right thing in terms of outreach. I don't know if that answered all the questions, but...
I'm sure it helps. Okay. Thank you very much. So we're still in the middle of public comment. I'd love to hear from some others.
I'd like to say something.
You need to come up to the microphone so we can hear you.
I'm on my bike, and I want to get going pretty quickly. Thank you all for all your research and everything that you do for the city. I appreciate it. My name is Paulette Messenheimer, and I've lived in Grover Beach since 2004. Fairly new compared to some of you who've been here so much longer. I was just wondering a couple questions. One, how much water is going to be used in this whole process? I know a lot of issues deal with water these days, and we don't know, you know, if we're going to have El Nino. We don't know if we're going to have tsunamis. We don't know what's coming in the future. And I think we need to really account for, you know, when you do a construction problem, when you do roads, when you do things like that, where does the water come from? Wouldn't it be a great idea if we had a little desalinization plant?
That would cost a lot more than streets.
Well, think about it, okay? I'm an environmentalist from 1973 when I used to collect newspapers in Chicago for the soup kitchen, for the very poor sections. So I believe in future answers, let's just put it that way. I know that sometimes we don't hire local people to do our work. And I don't think favoritism is a very good policy. I think if we say we're going to do it local, then maybe we need several companies working on these things instead of just one company. Can't we work together? And then my last point is that there is, you know, life expectancy. And I was in an at an environmental fair, and Cal Poly has come up with a new material for roads and sidewalks, which is made with somewhat of a recycled material, and the real big factor, has an extreme life expectancy, and also it absorbs CO2s. So that's what
thank
I have
you.
To offer, and thank you again for letting me speak.
Do you have time to stick around for some answers?
I don't, because, like I said, I'm on my bike. And
well, they'll be on TV. You can watch us again and get the answers.
That's what I want. Okay, bye.
Thanks. So I think that these are good questions, and we should take a look at them. Any help on how much water is used in the process?
From an environmental point of view, paving is actually a very green product. Exactly how much water is used is from the beginning to the end of the construction process is an interesting question. I don't know for sure. I mean, at the asphalt plant, they're washing the rock and aggregate. They're all the way to the testing facilities. There's use of water, but in the actual working of laying the asphalt, there's not very much water used in that process.
So I think, and what I want to do with these questions now, since the questioner wasn't able to stay, and we can get to these later, and there are a lot of other folks out there who want to talk, one of the other questions I'd like to have addressed is, in terms of the water used in process, I suspect that we have some things, some mitigations in place that control that and help that not be as extensive as it might be. So that might be an answer that would be useful to us later. But thank you for that. And okay. I'll ask if there's anyone else from the public who'd like to come forward just now.
Come to something like this, we can't have a say. So I think that's very important.
And I'd encourage you to come forward if there are folks out there who are vacation homeowners. I know I've had some of them approach me and say, why don't you fix the streets? We'll pay for it. So, but is that your view on it too, or do you have a view on where we should go with it?
Well, I'd like to see something change where if you have a property owner, you should be able to vote, have a say about it.
Oh, thank
which
you.
Which we don't.
Okay. Anybody else from the public who wants to come forward? Steve DiVincenzi, thank you for coming to our meeting tonight.
You're very welcome. My name is Steve DiVincenzi, and I'm with San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, Planning Director. And I wanted to come in and add our voice to this as a staff for SLOCOG. A couple things I wanted to point out. One is which I want to reinforce that we're not going to see any help from the federal or state government on your local streets. In fact, as we speak, Congress is debating how they're going to try to put the federal trust fund together just to finish this year, because they are so tied up in the politics of it that they can't agree on how just to keep the highway trust fund together beyond August. And that trickles down to the state. And the state, in these times, is taking more and more of that funding for state projects, and less funding is trickling down to our region. And as you're aware, transportation funding is a major issue at SLOCOG. Your mayor sits on our board. And we are not going to be able to include local funding in our current transportation plan because there's just a lack of funds. So if you don't help yourself, you're going to find yourself in deeper trouble. And as you know, the longer you wait on these issues, the more it will cost you. I do have a little bit of good news, though, is that today at the California Transportation Commission, they did approve $465,000 for improvements to Grand Avenue, which is one of what we call our routes of regional significance. And as part of your discussion today, SLOCOG does look at routes of regional significance and tries to coordinate and cooperate with jurisdictions to improve those routes. And that would be Grand Avenue, 4th Street, Oak Park are the major routes of regional significance in your city, and of course, improvements to Highway 1. But although we don't see a lot of support from Caltrans on Highway 1 now, they consider it pretty much okay at this point, where our focus is on 101, as you've heard recently, and we are looking at a lot of funding too. We'll keep looking for more.
We'll keep asking. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Anyone else from the public like to come forward? Miriam Shaw, it's good to see you tonight.
Hi, I'm Miriam Shaw. I just had a couple comments. I just want to be sure that we ask for enough money. In the first presentation, the part that really impressed me and something I certainly didn't know was how much it is going to cost to maintain these roads. And the fact that we cannot even maintain the roads at the level they're at now. So when they're even at a better level, they're going to cost even more to maintain. And I just hope we're accounting for that much more money, because when we looked at the phone survey results, it didn't seem like that big of a difference at the end of the day in support in the different amounts of money. I think the public wants this done, but we want it done right. Things to take into account. I know the major issue is just fixing the roads, especially residential roads, but I have small children, and a lot of families in the area, as well as people with disabilities, really do care about the sidewalks. And when we talk about raising our property values, if we could have true sidewalks in this town, it would be a facelift for the entire community. Not to mention, and this might not even be as expensive, we should make it a point to have bike lanes on every street. That might be just painting. I don't know, but hopefully. While we're doing this and we're tearing up the roads, if we could even look into burying the power lines, that would give such a facelift to the community as well. One thing that I recently saw, just talking about energy-efficient alternatives, they're coming up with solar panels as roads, and it's really new, but it might be something to think about, especially with possibly promoting tourism in our town, to think about doing on one street just to attract people to come here and see it. I think that's everything I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And there are a couple of things maybe raised in there, but we'll come back to those at the end. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward?
And actually, as the next person's coming forward, I do want to iterate that I did read an article about come forward.
Come on forward, Dave.
So I'll be done. Is the solar panels for roads are, it looks like an amazing technology. I mean, you can basically program the road for street lines, for paintings.
Either the people talking from here aren't close enough to it, or you are not close enough to your own microphones. So please be aware of that. I got a kick out of one of the things here. Half the people think that you are going to find the money somewhere else if you don't pass this. That was one of your survey things here. So you can see the dilemma you have, but that should be one of your most important things to straighten out, however you can. Gene Bellow is a smart guy. You need to talk about the investment on this. It's not, it's investment in the property owners. They're going to reap the benefit of a nicer city. The renters maybe will not, but at least the property owners should see some of the money coming back to them. And if you own several parcels here in town, this is going to be brutal. This is going to be a lot of money at $180, $160 $100,000. A lot of things are now $300,000 and $400,000. It's $500 per year if you have a number of them. It's a big hit. One thing I want to talk about, the 2006 sales tax measure. Half the money was promised to be on the streets, in addition to the funding that was already there. We're not following through on that, and that's a promise that was made, not maybe in writing, but certainly was made by all of us in the city trying to get that sales tax measure increased. And so I just heard the last year, he mentioned that you're talking about using the existing street funding, so you're not going to leave the funding that from the sales tax initiative and the ongoing road maintenance, that's not going to just stay in the general fund for additional salaries. And this funding, when it passes, will be used for the streets. You're also going to move that other money in with the streets. Is that a promise there also?
I don't think we can commit to that yet. But I mean, in terms of... Okay. So did you want to say in terms of how we, the bond can only be used for
yes.
streets.
Yes.
But I'm not quite sure where you're saying all the other funds that come in. You
I
want
think
us
it's very
to,
important that mm-hmm. the existing money that you now have been putting on the streets, plus the city sales tax promise, should also be included in street maintenance, rather than just say that's a new cash fund to spread out amongst the salaries in the city now. That. I think that's something that for streets, because there's no possible way that you could ever do it. You need to be that mm-hmm. honest and say, either support this or stop complaining, because there's no other option. Steve DeVincenzi, I guess he left. I was wondering if you pass this measure, if you can seek additional funding when you have a local funding match. It used to be that way. I don't know if it is anymore or not, but if the city could put up 30%, the SoCog or somebody might favor your project more than something else. That might be a sales push for you. Other big needs. I keep hearing this crazy number about the money that you're going to need for the city's portion of the lodge project to get the property there. That's huge. I don't know where that's coming from, but that's, you're going to hit up the citizens again for that.
No.
Well, okay, it's coming from some pie in the sky thing.
Well, anyway. It's not a decision we've made as the council, but that has not been our conversation to date.
Okay. I was just thinking of other problems. Mm-hmm. The lodge project is certainly one of them, I thought. Cuesta Bond is coming up. Lucy Amara, mm-hmm. I imagine, will come up with a school bond. You saw San Luis Coastal just announced today they're going to come up with a bond. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of hits coming up for funding. That's always for property owners. It's interesting that two water cycles from now, will be the November when the voting is coming on. That will be the first hit that the public will be hit with these penalties for not reducing 10% of your water assessment. You just passed that measure to go to stage three. You're going to have a lot of pissed off people right in November when you're counting on them to support your city. You're going to have that issue, and it's going to be loud and clear. But anyway, the property owners versus renters issue, I think, is important to stress the investment possibilities from all this. And I wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate your comments. Anyone else who'd like to come forward? Steve Lieberman.
I apologize for my attire. I actually ran in here without tying my shoes. I was really relaxed. Good evening. Big or go home? This community, I think, where's David? David and I served on the council, and a lot of times we didn't see eye to eye. But I'm with David. You have to be brutally clear with people. Do you want the streets improved? Yes, here's a mechanism and a vehicle to do it. No, status quo, get ready. So I think it's time not to sugarcoat and beat around the bush. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, we agreed on something. I might have a fever. Secondly, as you know, I represented the council and put together an ad hoc committee to talk about the charter. I know that's before you this evening. I'm sorry I didn't watch the whole hearing. But I would support you putting that to rest and focusing on priorities such as this one. I've gotten to know the members of the trades, and I've evolved a little bit, which is another frightening concept. but I think there's a discussion to be had to put people to work to build our community and to work as a partnership. And I was going to say something else, but it's escaping me. So
you can
come back. I need to go and take my shoes off. I don't have socks on. But go for the whole thing. Let's not rush. You know, that's the point I was going to say. Is I know there's a need or an implied need to get this on the November ballot, but I think with Proposition 1A and affirming the utility users tax, it takes a lot of work to get it to the community and talk to them face to face. And this is This is the economic revival, and this is the survival of our community, and I don't want to miss the boat on this not going the way we all want it to go. So I'll raise my hand and volunteer. I'll volunteer Dave Eckbaum to help, and let's just take time and do it right to get the message to our community. I trust them to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Actually, we have a question for you.
I have a question for you, Steve. Sorry. And it's either going to be a question for you, for Dave, or for staff. So when you were both on the council, there was the opportunity to put a bond measure on the ballot at that point. The economy got in the way around that time. Do you remember what the discussion was as the amount at that time?
Dave, help me. I keep coming up with the number of 5050 at the time was the general number. Does that sound familiar?
Okay.
If not, I just made it up.
Okay. So we're talking actually in the same ballpark of where we are in the discussion right now then.
And if you should recall, when I was on the council too, we had $600,000 to $900,000 of general fund money that we, because things were good, and we were able to do some residential street rehab and partner with SLOCOG on our arterials, and that money has dried up. So now it's time to go to the community. You know, it's my parents supported Prop 13 for all the right time and all the right reasons in the 1970s when I was
the fact that there's not a lot of water used in the process of doing street repair or street reconstruction. Is anybody able to comment? Actually, I know I see someone who can comment. Do we have mitigations in place that help preserve the amount of water used in the street process?
I don't think it would be if I could. Perhaps Greg can help answer that. I can only tell you that right now, you know, we've got the stage three water, and we wouldn't be permitting the use of potable water at this point.
Okay, and I wanted to comment on the comment about water and just make sure everybody out there knows that we're very much on the water and we're very concerned about it. And I was up in Sacramento last week. The governor wants 20%, so at 10%, we're being pretty generous. So just so everybody knows, that's an issue that's been on the radar with us for quite some time. We started with a workshop back in October, and we're spending a lot of time on that right now. So that's important to us. Let's see. Disabled. Now, as I recall, you had said that we will be required by the government to put in the ramps on sidewalks that we do have. Is that right?
Yes, Madam Mayor. The FHWA and the Department of Justice has come out with a ruling that says if you do certain treatments, it's considered an improvement to the point where you have to do you have to address your curb ramps. And so some treatments don't trigger that, and some treatments do. Given the condition of your streets, it pretty much is going to trigger it everywhere where you have existing sidewalk that the ramp will need to be improved in that area. And so those costs were factored in.
Okay, thank you. And the question was raised about hiring locally, and I wasn't quite sure what the point was there, but I did. I wanted to let folks know that we've made a huge effort to hire locally. It's been a policy of this council for as long as I can remember, and a policy of the city. So it's very important to us first to provide jobs for the people who live in Grover Beach, and I, from everything I can tell from the council, that continues to be a priority. Let's see, what other questions? Is there any way that vacation property owners can be involved in a vote? Is there any process that allows? Is that accurate? Will it cost more when they're in better condition?
Actually, it costs less when they're in better condition to be able to maintain them because you're doing different processes to the street.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Solar panels we looked at. Yes, please. Yeah. Yeah, please do, because I'm working on a lot of notes here. Yeah,
I think one of the clarification points, though, is that the amount to maintain the streets, even at the higher level, would be more than we currently have budgeted.
Yes.
Okay, which would be as Mr. Eckbaum was saying, we're budgeting about $300,000 through the half cent sales tax. So, which I think staff has done a good job of trying to balance that, and as the economy gets better, hopefully that number will continue to increase through that. But we would need to come up with some level of maintenance funding to maintain the roads at that level.
Yeah, thank you. That's helpful. Is three-quarters of our budget going to salaries? I didn't crunch that number.
I'd have to go back. I don't have the budget to give you that.
That would be a useful
statistic.
Answer to have.
It is a significant amount.
Yeah. Okay. And I think we've now responded to any questions that were raised. If anybody is aware of any others that they'd like to bring forward, that I'd be happy to hear those. Okay. So in this case, then, now we're at the deliberation phase, and I know council members may have questions and comments still. So anybody want to make any comments at this stage?
I'll just move in just for a question for staff. Are we ready to proceed with this? Or, as I heard from some of the public comments, don't move too fast and do it right.
Well, if I would like to at least offer my perspective with that, and I certainly understand what Mr. Lieberman had to say. I think two factors that you need to consider. One is the and maybe more than that, but one is the factor that if you delay to 2016. Again, that's going to mean you've got another at least 3 years before you're going to see any kind of improvement on the streets itself by the time we're able to implement. The other thought that I have about it is that given the level of support that you see now, my recommendation remains to move ahead with the general obligation bond issue. There is a potential, but information is required to ensure a better shot at passage, and you'd be able to improve if it was necessary. But from my perspective, staff's perspective, the need for the infusion of cash is so critical, the earlier the opportunity, the better.
Thank you, Bob. Just a follow-up on that. So one of the polling results was that we do need to provide this public outreach. Have you thought about what you're going to do between now and November?
Yes. In the past, we've used a professional to assist us, an outside the city professional. It does require some expenditure of funds. In the past, we've used the Catherine Liu Agency. There are other agencies out there. But that is something that I think the council should strongly consider. Whether you went in 2014 or 2016, some kind of assisted public messaging is probably going to be necessary.
It sounds like it would be necessary from what I was hearing. I think once the question was asked, after the education had been provided to the polling folks, that the answers were even, we had better results. We had more positive results. So I guess the question is, had you thought about hiring this poll?
Yes.
This other
yes.
That is part of.
And what I would want to do is if the council decides to go ahead with the general obligation bond issue, part of the direction that I would look for is, you know, to solicit some quotations on the provision of a public program.
So given the timeline, how would all that fit? So we have to have, maybe you can just briefly run through the timeline that we're up
well,
against.
Well, first of all, let the city attorney cover the time frame in terms of the placement of the item on the ballot. And for me, obviously, the public messaging, the sooner the better. But I'm thinking that you could probably have someone available to decisions made and information could be targeted for some time around August 1st, and that would give you roughly 3 months.
Okay.
Are you saying start the process or bring it to the council?
Start the process. Okay. That would mean that we would use the intervening period to solicit the quotation.
Necessity at the next meeting in July 7th, and then follow up with an adoption of an ordinance calling for an election in the second meeting in July. The timing is doable. It all needs to be in place and moved forward to the county in August, beginning of August. August 7th is the deadline, but obviously we don't want to wait till the last possible minute. It's always good to have one meeting just in case something goes bump and we need to meet again. in addition to having a professional assistance in providing the information to the public. In the past, the city has participated in informational campaigns, what is permissible under law, and all the people that care about the cause turn out and individually.
You know what? You need to speak more quickly. Not more quickly. More. Be noisier, please. We can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry. I think.
Thank you for reminding us.
Is this on now? Better?
That's much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought that was on. No. And what I was finishing up with is that in addition to in the past hiring consultants to guide the city through the informational process before the election and doing that, obviously everybody that's involved in this could also individually as persons not on city time assist in that as well.
So Bob, what would you envision as being a public outreach campaign for something like this? I mean, is it?
Well, there are going to be multifaceted. Obviously, you would deal with mailers, getting out factual information, probably two or three different times within that period. But a lot of it has to be done through personal contact, and that would have to be done through a campaign of discussions with local organizations.
Okay.
The distribution of factual material, and that actually can be carried door to door by individuals as long as it is factual material. The city can participate in that.
And is that something your consultant that you're thinking of would
right.
be doing for us? Okay, good. Because we have to get out to the residents, the
right.
homeowners, the property owners. Thank you.
I'd like to piggyback on that one. And we've had a lot of
2016 election. I think we need to move forward with this, and I think we need to move forward right now with it. I also would like to suggest that we seriously consider the $38 million bond versus the other two options that we have talked about. I think if we go for the $38 million, that takes us down the road probably close to 20 years, and I would suggest that we don't know what's going to happen to the economy and to the city during the next 20 years. I think we are going to see a lot of improvements in the city. We will have hopefully the Beachfront Lodge will be completed, open, and operating. We will have revenue coming in from that. I think that's going to create a considerable amount of new business along Grand Avenue. I really think that's going to happen once construction starts on the Beachfront Lodge. So I think that in itself is also going to generate additional tax money for the city. So we will have a lot more money than we have today when we get down the road. The money that we get in on the tax increase that we promoted, we have used a lot of that money on streets. We will continue to do so in the future, probably use more than we have in the past. I think we should still concentrate on residential streets. That's another reason I would like to consider the $38 million. We are still eligible for grant money on some of the major arterial streets. Oak Park Boulevard is a good example. Grand Avenue is another one. 4th Street is another one. And those streets are not in as bad condition as some of the residential streets. The $38 million, if we chose to use on residential streets only, as was indicated, if I'm not mistaken, would cover 100% of our residential streets. So I think it's something we should seriously consider. I would like to see us go for the $38 million. I would like to see us get it done tonight. I would like to see us vote for yes, let's move forward with the bonds, general obligation bond.
Thank you. Mayor Rotemly?
Yeah, if I could, thanks. And actually, I want to echo part of what Councilmember Nichols just said, is that I'd support the $38 million as well. However, I would say we should move forward with the $48 million. So Mr. Lieberman's comment of go bigger to someone asking us 15 years from now, hey, you said we were going to do all of the streets. at 38 million, we can do all the streets, but perhaps at 48, we can do all of the residential streets and some of the arterials and so forth. Maybe this rises to a level of a question, but one of the comments was, can we underground power lines? Can we do other things? I think, and tell me if this is incorrect, some of our CDBG funding that we perhaps ask for in the future would be either to we could tailor some of those projects along with the bond projects to do some of that work at the same time to kind of get an economy of scale. So that would be a decision that would be down the line. I don't think we put that into this particular bond. And then I had one other thought, and it has escaped me because I forgot to write it down. The discussion that we had in previous meetings with regards to how much we would do at a particular time, I don't know if this is the appropriate language to start it in, but I would be supportive of accelerating some of the first costs, even if it does mean going out to a consultant or three, four contractors at a time to build certain streets so that we see an almost immediate impact to the largest number of streets, so that the residents and the people of the community go, okay, this is what I agreed to, this is what I supported. Thank you for moving forward. And then it continues. And perhaps it still takes 20 years to finish everything, but there's an immediate impact right off the bat. So, and then just one last thing. I know the city manager's asked for a recommended tabling was not the correct word at the last meeting, but basically discontinuation of moving forward on the charter measure, and I would be supportive of that. But I think even with that, we still do need to have education, which would include our union representatives and members that are going to be doing the work on the streets.
Yeah, they can be very helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to make a couple of comments. Number one, I concur on putting off the charter measure. I agree with that. I think that's a good choice. But I also would caution us on jumping into this to make a big impression by doing so many streets at one time. We have a limited staff here, and the staff has to oversee this. We can't. I think we
saw that you may have had a comment for us.
Just something to consider on that note. The Central Coast is limited in its contracting community in terms of materials that are available. Right now, for instance, we're really struggling with just the projects up and down the Central Coast from Santa Barbara all the way up. We've run out of 3/8-inch rock. We can't produce it fast enough. And so even if you went out with these big projects, there's limits to what can be done. So that would be something to consider as well.
Thanks. Any other comments down at this end?
Yes, please.
Well, I agree with most of what has been said. I really do believe that we don't have a choice. I think we've got to get started, because otherwise our streets are going to turn to dust. So, and many of them have, or in some spots anyway. And if we don't start now, they're just going to deteriorate even more, and which means it's just going to be higher cost. So if we wait any longer, it's just going to be more expensive for us to fix these streets, if and when we ever do are able to fix them. And I agree wholeheartedly about property values decreasing, and that is something I think is so important. We agree on something that people do need to understand, because It makes a big difference. I think if you drive down a street and the streets are cracked and pitted, and as opposed to you drive down a street and it's paved and new, just makes a huge difference. I think it'll make an incredible difference in our city. So, I do think though we really need to pin down the maintenance of these streets. That's a concern of mine, and so I think for me that's one thing that I'm really going to we're really going to need to look at how we're going to fund that maintenance part. And then lastly, I agree. I think it's at this point in time, well, I would go along with the tabling the charter at this time. And I think those
are... document and inform them the best we can of what we're at, including, as Councilmember Bright had brought up, that this doesn't include maintenance. That should be part of the outreach. Mm-hmm. The costs are going to be incremental per year because we're only doing, I suspect we're going to do $5 million bonds at a time. So the public outreach component is huge. I'm fully supportive of getting this out to the people, and let's hear what they have to say, our constituents. And lastly, I'm fine with the charter putting that on the back burner until this gets resolved. This is a critical issue. So those are my comments. Thanks.
Thanks. So we've got a 38 to 48. You two haven't said.
I'm okay with any amount.
You can work with either one. Did you have a thought on that, Councilmember Bright?
Well, I was leaning towards the 38. Mayor Pro Tem Lee made a good case for the 48, as did Mr. Lieberman. And I think if we could break down the costs so people kind of understand how that's going to affect them, I think it would help them as well as me. So I'd like to see that. But I would go either way.
Okay. Well, we have time to change our mind up to a certain point, I suspect.
We've
so with the public outreach,
we'll
get public response on how much. Martin, at what point do we finally say, oh, it's 38 or 48 when we go to the bond?
The ballot needs to be submitted at the end of July.
End of July. That's all the time we have to decide. Okay.
So by the 21st of July, which unless we have a special meeting afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And I really liked what Mr. Lieberman said, go big or don't go. And that's the kind of, I've had some of that feedback, and it tends to be my style. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other pots of money, because I think the reason I feel like the focus is so much residential or completely residential has been because I know that we've been able to get some money from other places. I know that some funds are available from the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. They just funded a third installment of help with Grand Avenue. And we do get a lot of feedback from folks. Why are you fixing Grand Avenue and you don't do our streets at home? Well, the reason is because we get grants to do Grand Avenue, and so we take advantage of those. And as Mr. Eckbaum said, yes, we can leverage. In this case, it's 100% grant, but there have been other cases where we've been able to leverage with a couple hundred thousand, and it's made sense. There'll be other ways. And so we do have, and plus we have our own small pots of money that come in from the gasoline tax and some of those things and the sales tax. So that's why I think I would go 38 or 48. The 48 does scare me. It scares me because if we don't succeed, then we still have a lot of frustrated people in town, and I hate to see that happen. So that's my fear about the 48.
Madam Mayor, I don't know that this will help at all, but in terms, I just thought I'd provide you what the average tax rate will be for both of those. For the 48,000, the average tax rate is $165.30 per 100,000 of assessed value.
At the end.
Yeah. Well, what it says that's the average. For over a 25-year period, that you starts out low, you end up paying high, but the average is 165 per 100,000 of assessed value. The 38 is $130.87 per 100,000 of assessed value over a 25-year period. That's the average.
And those numbers are fairly conservative. In other words, they're not inflated, but they're on the higher end of the scale.
Okay.
Because they will vary depending on how the percentage rate increases.
What I think the city attorney is alluding to, as your assessed value increases, the actual rates go down because there's more to spread across.
Well, that's good news because we usually think of it the other way
exactly.
around.
That's what I was just thinking. Gee, I don't,
think the more it goes, I get assessed, the more I have to pay.
Exactly. That's great. Okay.
I would like to emphasize again that I think we have an excellent chance with the $38 million. And as was pointed out to us, that will do all of our residential streets. And I think that's what the citizens of this community are interested in.
The over
48, yes, we might have a chance at it. I can appreciate Mr. Lieberman's comments, but I am much more confident that we can go with 38. And if 38 will get all of our residential streets done, I think that's what the direction we ought to go. And it keeps the rate down a little bit lower, a little easier to sell to a lot of the residents of this community. We're getting more and more of the retired retired.
Whether it's all red or what it is. So what streets are included in the residential? Because obviously Atlantic City might be considered an arterial. So 4th Street might be considered a collector type. So if we could see that. So, but I mean, if I'm going to support 48, I'm going to support 38. So,
yeah. And I agree with Council Member.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're all agreed on 38, and the 48 is something that's up for discussion, and we would love to have. There's still two opportunities for people to come weigh in. We'd like them to do that.
Mayor, Madam Mayor, and Council Members, I want to make sure. Actually, I'm going to correct myself. The number on the ballot should be set when we introduce the ordinance,
okay.
Not when we adopt it at the end.
So we need to set it.
It gives you a little less time. Mm-hmm. Unless we go into some special meetings, which I wouldn't recommend.
Not in
but,
July.
It was the staff's intent, at least, to introduce the ordinance on the 7th.
Okay.
At the next council meeting, that will have the text in it. That can be postponed if, for example, there's still further discussion about the amount and there is some change in direction, which would then require potentially setting a special meeting to reintroduce the ordinance and adopting it at the regular meeting on the 21st. You cannot adopt an ordinance on a special meeting, but you can introduce it at a special meeting and adopt it at a regular meeting. So I would be looking at the beginning of July as kind of solidifying the number, if the number is still subject to some fluctuation after tonight.
So if the ordinance is introduced at the on our meeting on the 7th of July, and then we would need a second reading on the 28th of July, that doesn't give us time in between to have conversations.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That on July 7th, it was our intent to introduce the ordinance. If at that point in time there is still discussion with regard to the amount, or the council decides to change the amount from whatever to whatever, we would probably then set a special meeting a week later and reintroduce the ordinance, and then have the council consider adoption in the July 21st meeting.
One of those sticky logistical questions. Let's say we started on the 7th at $48 million, and for some reason during the course of that meeting, we went down to 38. Obviously, that's a better situation than what was initially introduced. It would still need to be reintroduced.
There's probably fewer of those.
If I could, and this is a question for maybe Greg and Joe, but the council had previously selected what I thought our major streets were. And I think the PCI system has been based on that.
Everything except major arterials and major streets, I think, as council identify them as residents.
There was a list.
I have it.
Eight roads or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. West Grand Avenue, 4th Street, Oak Park, 13th, Farrell, North 12th, Atlantic City, Long Branch, from Oak Park to South 4th, the Pike, 8th Street, El Camino Real, Newport, and Mentone. And those were major connecting streets list.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else is residential.
There you go.
So what? One more time?
West Grand, 4th Street, Oak Park, 13th Street.
Slower, please.
13th, Farrell, North 12th Street, Atlantic City Avenue, Long Branch Avenue from Oak Park to South 4th, the Pike, 8th Street, El Camino Real, Newport Avenue,
that's me.
And Mentone.
I'm voting.
I don't get my road done.
We can distribute this to people.
And those are streets with which we can apply for grant money to do the work on, correct?
Well, some of those, by clarification, are recognized by this city as our main streets, but probably not by SLOCOG. For instance, it may be more difficult to get street funding for 8th Mentone.
That's what I'm saying. I was surprised.
We're not doing that one.
So that would actually beg the $48 million. Figure versus the $38 million, because that gets us all residential streets plus the discussion.
Well, Atlantic City is a classic example. There
would be nothing that I can think of legally preventing the council from using any savings or any money that is obtained through this on some additional streets if that money is available.
That's true. You wouldn't have to think about, if you issued the 38.
I'm going to say government's never saved anything in their lives. why do I anticipate savings on this project?
Why are they going to start now?
Yeah. Right.
Good question. we saved the salmon.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still, again, I'm going to support either direction that we go, but it's just, it's going to make it it's a little bit of a harder sell, but there's more people that would be impacted and positively affected with the $48 million if we include the arterials and the collectors.
You got part of Atlantic City was done just recently. So those people are not going to be against this program. Fourth Street was done. So you don't have many people living on Fourth Street. I think your rationale in the number of people that are going to be upset, I think, is way off base.
Okay. Also, we all drive through this town.
Oh, I agree.
And, even though my street is pretty bad, but it's not nearly as bad as driving up 14th. I mean, just to have 14th done, I would be... and there are other streets that are just as bad. So
I'd rather have Saratoga done. and I actually live on 14th. So
it's a good thing we have a computer making the decisions.
It's so true. Nah, no, 16th, actually. I think 16th is worse. But anyway, right, yeah. So I don't know that it's really a matter of it has to be your street. But
right. No, it just.
But I understand your point. And I don't know.
I'm leaning towards your argument because it worries me a little bit. Because although we've done a number of these and it's been our priority to keep up the collectors because everybody drives them, I think that at the end of the day, some of these really do still, Fourth is going to need constant work. And we'll get some money maybe, but it's a few years down the road. So I'm inclined then to go with your argument of 448.
Can I see that
sure.
list?
And then... Sorry.
I was going to say, especially since the statistics that came forward had virtually no statistical difference between the support for $48 million and $38 million. So, again, realizing the strong support is different slightly than the overall strong support, slightly support, is in the ballpark of approval. So either way, it's going to be a hard sell. It's going to depend upon the education that we put out there.
Have a smaller universe. So the 181, just to remind you, was 48, and then it'll be 38 and 27. So we're at 50% who say they definitely, probably, or lean towards supporting this. At the 144, we're at 54%. The 102, we're at 61%. This is within the margin of error, but it's at the low end of the margin of error. That having been said, when we re-ask the question at the $48 million mark, we're at 73-24, with 65%, again, within the margin of error being supportive. So the question is, how much people will sort of ponder that hundred thousands of assessed value versus what they'll see on the ballot. Some people won't think about this, go and look on the ballot and say, all right, $48 million sounds right, it's good. Some other people say it sounds like a lot of money. I will tell you that some people don't really understand bonds. They're not sure. And why is that the case? Well, I think one of my thoughts on that is that they pass a lot of state bonds, and you don't see it on your property tax. They're not quite sure how that goes. And sometimes cities will issue bonds and pay it some other way, not go to the voters for it. So there's a more confusion about bonds than there are sales tax, parcel tax. So I think that's where it plays a little bit in your favor. I certainly don't think any of these numbers are a slam dunk, but I see such commitment here that, you know, I think you should at least consider, and you are, going out for something. That's clear. If you think about a stacked ballot, someone was correct in saying, you know, you've got community college, you've got a few other things. I will promise you, in a presidential year, that ballot will even be more stacked, because it will be people, cities and counties and special districts saying, this is our best shot for 4 years to get money, and we all need money. So the sequencing of thinking, well, let's try it at 2014. If we aren't successful, we will continue our education to 2016, gives you two bites at the apple. I realize that the problem now is the dollar figure. Get some more money. They just won't remember that you've said this is phase one. But I am worried that $48 million is a lot of money per 100,000 of assessed value. So I've now sat here for several hours. I think you're extremely thoughtful. I know you will come to the right decision. But it's a tough one. But that's why they voted you in.
Thank you.
Well, I would again say, why gamble if we can get all the residential streets done for $38 million? Why gamble on going for $48 million? I think you're just lowering your chances. Yeah, the poll was close. I just don't see taking the risk. I think we need to get the streets done. I think this is the sure way that we can do it. And I personally wouldn't want to gamble on the $48 million.
It's our gamble. It's really up to the residents. This is their decision.
It's a gamble that we'll get enough votes. That's what I'm saying.
We're all the residents.
And I think that's a really important point to make, because I know what the headlines are going to be. I hope I'm wrong, but they're going to be Grover Beach votes for streets bond.
Yeah.
And
but
we're not voting.
We're not voting.
The council is not voting for a streets bond. The council is saying the voters have a choice here. What we're trying to work out is what are they going to be most responsive to? And that's our role, is to figure out what to take to them, not to make the decision except when we cast our ballot.
Right. So, and that's where I'd love to have the feedback from the public. What do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want 48 or do you want 38?
That's what I'm thinking. Why don't we go forward with whatever, 38 or... I'd say go forward with 38. That's just my thought. But it doesn't matter, 38 or 48. And hopefully we'll have some public input at our next meeting and hear what they have to say. I mean, then we can kind of go from there.
I would argue that we should perhaps look at 48 just based on the polling feedback we got, and that is if you start with a low number, they'll never go for the high.
Yeah.
So we might want to start with 48, and if people are saying no, then we can always drop down.
Well, and hopefully that would then also bring those people out.
Right.
Because that's who we need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we really do. We need to hear. So.
So I support the 48 for those reasons as well.
Okay. I think we're ready for... Do we need to do a motion on this one? We should.
Well, I would appreciate getting specific direction, and a motion would be helpful. I think I had.
So here's a question. If we were to take the recommended action as a motion, have we provided you enough direction as to what the amount's going to be?
Well, we still ultimately, by the time we get to the 7th, I think you can ultimately put you're going to have to fill in the blank by the 7th.
Okay. So then from that perspective, I'll make a motion that we direct staff to proceed with development of the general obligation bond measure in the amount of $48 million for the November 2014 ballot, and to discontinue further consideration of the proposed charter measure at this time.
We have a motion from Mayor Pro Tem Lee. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Councilmember Marshall. And I think, you know what, I'm not going to do a roll call if that's okay, just because it is really important.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Of the city attorney, I have a little bit of experience, but I have a PhD in sociology. I'm not a lawyer. If you go for if there's a decision to sort of move forward with acting on the 48, there's additional documents, exhibits, that are connected with what you'll spend some of the $48 million on. If in the discussion that happens at the next meeting, you then sort of come to the conclusion that maybe it should be 38, will those documents have to have changed? And what is the impact on the number of meetings you still have in passing the measure?
Thank you.
And yet we will need an additional meeting. That's what I was at least trying to explain to the council. You'll have the opportunity
have a special meeting
to change, but then we'll reintroduce the ordinance at another meeting.
I have the sense that we're all willing to have a special meeting even in July because this is important.
Yes,
and we want more public input.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to hear.
And actually, under the guise of discussion of the motion, realizing the polling was at 48, 38, and 27, could we pick 43?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can pick anything you want.
I mean, and I realize
48 is your bonding capacity limit, more or less. I think it's somewhere around 49, actually.
Right. Okay.
But it's that you cannot, you should not go over that because you won't get a bond.
Oh, here we have another, some more helpful input.
This is where the numbers came from. Right. I basically asked the city to say, what's the lowest that you would go out for and it would be worth going out?
Right.
And that got the lowest. Then I say, what's the highest? That's your Cadillac dream. You know, what's the highest?
You know, the survey went out and you contacted 300 individuals. Obviously, the voting number is a lot larger than that. I think that the council has the flexibility to set the bonding level at whatever you're comfortable with, whether that's 43, 48, 38, 37. That's still all within your parameter to do.
Thank you.
I like 40.
Well, we know the 48 gets us X. We know the 38 gets us X. We don't know what 30 or 43 gets us without some further discussion at this point.
Yeah. 38 gets you all the residential streets.
With the exception of this list?
Well, what has been designated by the city council as residential streets.
All streets but those.
Anything above that is, assuming that the direction is that all residential streets will get done, and then anything over can be used for other streets, versus doing 70% of all streets for $48 million, which was another one of the options that was being discussed.
And we don't need to make that decision along with this amount that we come forward with. Yeah. So the work program after approval,
yes. The only decision that would be important sooner rather than later is that we will be formulating the ballot language. And if the ballot language says all residential streets, then that would dictate, that's a promise on which we're basing the request to the voters. So that's that part would need to be in some fashion or simply removed. So the ballot could say this is for fixing streets in the city.
Right.
And then you would have the flexibility of determining how you allocate the money. But then you, in my unexpert opinion, would lose the advantage of saying this will fix all of your residential streets.
So as a pollster, I think about messaging and what people think about different issues. And while I know substantively the idea of 40 sounds very attractive because it's not as high as 47, but a little less, the typical, if you'd go into a store and something costs $10, if it costs $9.99, for some reason you say, well, that's less than $10.
No, I object to the $48 million. I'm going to stick with the $38 million. I think that's where we belong.
Yes. So we have four ayes and one no. And I believe we're done for the evening, with the exception of closed session. And what? So I'll ask the city attorney to announce that.
No. It is the intent of the council to meet in closed session on one item, and that item being labor negotiations with SEIU.
Thank you. So we will recess to closed session. It's 9:41.
Not as much as I am right now.
Oh, gosh. This better go fast.